is your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Like the trailer shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Joey Shelley and Bob McGalley. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Lodge with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McGalley.
Welcome to the Inside Edge. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. Blue Jackets no game tonight, but getting set for their final home game of the regular season tomorrow at Nationwide Arena when they take on the Winnipeg Jets. Today was a weird day. We had the day off. It was a summer-like day. I mowed the lawn today. You?
I was wondering what you did. Yeah, it was weird, first of all, to be home. Right? And, yeah, my kids were sick, so both kids were home, and I told them, behave, I'm going out to mow the lawn. And that took a long time because sticks,
yeah,
dog crap, you got to get it all organized. You got to get the lawnmower out and see if it works, right?
Yeah. I was surprised. Two pools and it fired right up. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't believe it.
You take care of your stuff.
No, that's why I couldn't believe it.
So next one, you're done.
Right.
Yeah, but what a day. It was nice. Yeah, it was great to be home. And you know, after last night's loss, I was thinking, you know, if that loss was next week in Pittsburgh,
oh,
I think we'd feel a little different.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is, you got to look at what's going on here. I'm a little concerned, not the result,
mm-hmm,
and it might sound like torts when I say that, but it's the way that there was sometimes during that game last night, I didn't feel the confidence. And it wasn't like, it was just moments of, you know what, these guys have beat us and we can't come back. And I haven't sensed that all season until the last 8 days. And that, to me, is a little bit concerning because don't get frustrated. We didn't see them get frustrated all season. We didn't see them get bothered by being down, up, or tied in late games or whatever. And maybe this scoring thing is really getting to them. But I'm surprised that we knew the check-in would get tighter, but I was surprised that the confidence level was low last night at points.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it was 4-1 was the final, and I really felt when it went to 3-0, when the Penguins got their third one, and it was 3-0, that's when I really felt what you're talking about. It was kind of like, that's it. Can't come back in this game. You know, and maybe that's fair, maybe that's not fair, but it just didn't.
Yeah,
it didn't feel the same
way.
And it did it feel? Well, here's the real question, because last year, this is what you and I were talking about every game.
Yeah.
Every game was, you're down by two, it's over, and you can't come back. Do you get that sense that you had then right now?
Well, no, because I go back to the Washington game, and I see that third period, especially that last 12 minutes that they played, the Blue Jackets were just rumbling, and you could feel the almighty power, the powerful Washington Capitals starting to crumble, and it was like they were holding on to get that victory, and they held on.
Five more minutes, and maybe they don't win.
No chance. And I'm thinking at that point, I'm like, okay, you lost the game. You didn't play great to start, but you showed that kind of fight, and that's really what this team's been about all season. But in Pittsburgh, I didn't feel it. Now, it was brought to our attention. I didn't even think of this. Was it not 5 games in 7 nights?
Yes. And I didn't think of it either. And you know, remember, John Tortorella talked about the month of March, how busy it was going to be with 16 games in the month of March. And I didn't think about that. And I'm not making an excuse, and I know you're not either, but look what they just played. And now, guess what? Today's a day off. Starting tomorrow, it's 3 games in 4 days to end the regular season. So it's no cakewalk at the end.
No. I mean, and that takes a toll. I don't care who you are. I don't care what we expect. You know, robots break down after a certain period of time of just doing, going at it. And these guys, there was moments, and you know what goes first when you're tired is your brain.
Right.
I mean, you don't make great decisions, and you're not as sharp as you want to be. And let's also mention they missed Zach Werenski.
Big time. They missed him. They only had to play with him without him for part of the game against the Washington Capitals, and they made that pushback at the end. But then last night against Pittsburgh, they didn't have him from the get-go. But then again, Penguins played well. The Penguins played like a very experienced team that was looking to get home ice, and that's how they went out and handled it. And we are very pleased to be joined right now by Penguins radio analyst Phil Bork, who only has a couple of minutes, and he took those couple of minutes and gave them to Jody and I tonight. Borky, thanks for coming on.
You know, anytime. I apologize for being late. We're having a little
team dinner here in New Jersey before we play the Devils. So I have a few minutes, so let's get the hockey talk going.
All right, let's get your perspective on that game from last night. Jody and I just talked about what we thought about the Blue Jackets and that they had more fight in trying to come back in the game against Washington 2 days previous than they had last night. From your standpoint, look, these two teams are probably going to see a ton of each other over the course of the next couple of weeks. What did you see last night?
Well, I saw a Penguin team that had a game plan and stuck to it. I thought the Blue Jackets at times were really trying to intimidate the Penguins. They were trying to get the Penguins to get involved in a lot of stuff after the whistle. And maybe that has worked with these Pittsburgh Penguins in years past, but I thought the Penguins would stay pretty disciplined to their game plan. I think when you get a goal from your fourth line, you get a goal from a defenseman that hasn't scored in 150 games, and you get solid goaltending from Matt Murray, I think it was mission accomplished for the Penguins as far as what their goal was going into that game, guys, because I didn't really think the results or the score mattered as much as if you were able to play your game and you were able to maybe plant a seed of doubt into the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I think hopefully you guys will agree with me that was mission accomplished for the Penguins.
Yeah, I got that sense midway through that game, Borky. I thought that, you know, the Blue Jackets really kind of felt a little defeated there, and we were surprised to see that out of this team that's really had that battle level all high, really high this season, and really ready for any kind of challenge. But I was interested to hear your take on last season for you guys, because at what point did you know that this team and the Pittsburgh Penguins could actually take a run at the Stanley Cup? Because it was a really interesting season, and you had guys come out of the woodwork, and things just came together. But was there one point? Was it in the second round? Was it late in the season? Was it the rally you had at the end?
That's what it was. When we beat the Caps in the second round, we got the overtime winner from Nick Bonino. That's when the HBK line, Hagelin, Bonino, and Kessel were just humming along. We got bodies back healthy because if Jimmy Malkin was hurt to start the playoffs, Matt Murray was hurt to start the playoffs, Marc-Andre Fleury was hurt to start the playoffs. So I was 100% confident we could beat the New York Rangers. We needed to beat the New York Rangers because they had eliminated us in the previous two seasons, and I think we kind of needed to slay that dragon. And we knew that the Caps, you know, winners of the President's Trophy, as they love to do, I knew that that would be a hurdle for us. And if we could get through them, I still believe, even though I won seven games, I still believe in my heart of hearts that we could beat Tampa Bay. And then once you're going to get that feeling this year, whoever comes out of the East probably is going to win the Stanley Cup, even though, you know, Chicago and Anaheim and teams like that will probably have some say in it. But really, that Washington series was a big one for me.
And why I ask that is because what an advantage right now. You guys have all the injuries, but the most of your group, that young group from last year that won a Stanley Cup, is intact and really came together later in the playoffs. It's an amazing way to approach this season as defending champs, isn't it?
It really is. And I think the Jackets have, you know, whether you're talking about Werenski or Bjorkstrand, I mean, you've got those young players too. And you know, you've been around long enough, Jody, you know that if you're going to win, if you're going to go deep in the playoffs, of course you need to have the star power. You need to have the goaltending. But you need to have those young guys, those guys in the third and fourth line. And it's really, as I've kind of traveled around the league this year, it's unbelievable how many guys that are analysts come up to me and say, you know, give the congratulations and say, man, I was so impressed with your third and fourth line. It's just a given that your stars are going to show up. It's going to go deep in the playoffs. But I think the difference maker is to have those young guys. And now we got another guy, and you witnessed him the other night, and this Jake Guentzel that's really come out of nowhere. That, you know, he went to Omaha, Nebraska, and played college hockey, and he has been such a perfect fit for Sidney Crosby on the left side.
Talking with Phil Bork, Penguins radio analyst, and I wanted to ask you about that because we talked to Sidney Crosby yesterday morning, and it seemed as though maybe he's not had this much fun in a long time playing with Connor Sheary and Jake Guentzel, and it really looks like those two young guys have been a fit for him.
It's really been remarkable. And, you know, they're both kind of similar players. They're diminutive, smaller, but the one thing they have is, number one, is courage. They will go to the net as hard as a guy that's 6'4", 220 pounds. And they have a skill set. They also have a confidence in their skill set where they can make plays on their own, because so many players that have played with Sid just think, I got to get the puck to Sid. I got to get the puck to Sid. And at times he doesn't want it. And they can give and go. That's Sid's favorite play, is the give and go. Tons of speed through the neutral zone. And it's been such a pleasant surprise, because if we didn't have these guys, I don't really know. Phil Kessel doesn't seem to be a great fit with Sid. Patrick Hornquist, you can always throw him up there, as well as Chris Kunitz, but that's not the perfect fit for Sid, because they don't quite play with the same tempo or speed. And I think that's what separates Sheary and Gensel, is they can play with that tempo, they can play with that speed, they can bring it in the third period as hard as they can in the first period. And you're right, Sid is just playing with a carefreeness and a joy in the game that was missing in the first half of last season.
Phil, I got to ask you, you played in Pittsburgh, you've worked there for a long time. For the Blue Jackets fans, Columbus-Pittsburgh is a rivalry. I don't feel it's that way for the Penguins fans yet. It's certainly not Penguins-Flyers by any means. But you were there 3 years ago when these two teams battled in the playoffs, and they're about to do it again. Is there that potential for this to really blossom into a rivalry?
Absolutely. You know why, Jody? Because you got guys that we hate. And that's what it is. And I say that in a sense, and it's a word I don't like my kids to use, but in the sense of sports and rivalries and competitiveness, it's a healthy hatred. And as sports fans, and as much as we're analysts and this is our job, we're sports fans, hockey fans too. And we want to see that healthy hatred. We want to see that competitiveness between two teams just laying it on the ice, whether it's emotionally or physically. And I think you're starting to get that with Pittsburgh and Columbus. I think it's going to be an unbelievable series. I think there's going to be more nastiness than we can have time to talk about on the air, but that's what makes it great. That's what makes the rivalry. That's what makes it, because you have the skill and you have the guys that will get their noses dirty, and you've got to, don't forget about the two coaches that have a love-hate relationship too.
Hey, Borky, you're the best to talk to, because as a player, you won two Stanley Cups. You've got the experience. As a broadcaster now, you've got a couple. But I look at your HockeyDB page, and you ended your playing career in Hamburg playing for the Crocodiles. What is going on there?
Well, here's what it was. I was recently divorced, and so I was a single guy, and I knew my body was breaking down, but I wasn't ready to kind of push the chips in and say, cash me out. And I had an opportunity to go play over in Germany in the Deutsche Ice Hockey League. I knew they had the Olympic ice surface over there. And it wasn't as much of a hitting game. So I knew with my shoulders breaking down, my knees breaking down, that I was like, okay, maybe just a year, maybe two more, and I can go out on my own terms, which I absolutely did. I have no regrets at all. I don't miss playing the game at all. I love being around the game, but playing in Hamburg was tremendous. I had the time of my life. A quick story, if you guys ever get a chance to go over to Germany, one of the big treats over there is they have a naked co-ed sauna. No word of a lie. It's just a bunch of naked guys and girls in a sauna. You're naked, I'm naked. Let's just be naked together. What a country. I had the time of my life, and it's a great way to end my career.
Right on.
I don't even know if we need to do the next couple segments of the show. I think it just topped out right there, to be honest with you. Whatever I was going to ask you, it pales in comparison now to that. But are they taking you somewhere nice, or are you just going to the Dinosaur Barbecue right next to the rink there in Jersey?
No, we're in Summit, New Jersey, at a place called Roots Steakhouse, which is high end, only the best from the Penguins, first class all the way, and I think we got Mario's credit card, so it's going to be up and let it go.
All right,
so you got the credit card, so you're not going down by the river to have the hot dogs, right?
No, down by the river and party all summer. That will be hopefully in June.
We'd like to put a stop to that, actually, here in a couple of weeks.
I know you would. That's why I said it.
Phil, thank you so much for joining us, and, hey, we'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Phil.
I can't wait for next week. It's going to be a blast. Pens and Jackets, Bob and Jody, this is a blast, and it was good hockey talk.
All right. Thanks, Phil. That is Phil Bork. He is the radio analyst for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he's like you, a guy that played the game and put the body on the line so many times and still has that great zest and excitement for this game.
You can just tell, Bob, that he appreciates it, and it's so fun to see him in the press box, whether it's in Columbus when the Penguins are here or like last night there. You're right. He's got the energy. He's got the thumb on the team, but he is passionate about the Penguins, and his roots go deep with the Penguins, and he's obviously got some great stories, even the last one in his career. I like to hear about some of the ones when they passed around that cup in Pittsburgh.
And when it was at the bottom of Mario's pool,
right,
as rumor has it. But you're right about that, his appreciation, because he was out of the game. And he was, you know, you you quit playing in the next year you started broadcasting.
Yeah,
there wasn't,
I was lucky.
There wasn't a separation for you. There was for him. And he's told me that story about, you know, he wanted to get back in some capacity. And he called Mario Lemieux, who, you know, his former teammate now owns the team. And he called Mario and let him know he wanted to get back in somehow. And he said, well, the first thing you have to do is move back to Pittsburgh. If you do that, I can help you out in some way. And then, you know, eventually he works into the role that he's in right now. But that's a really big thing for those guys. You know, you can hate the Penguins all you want as a rival, but they really, since Mario's taken over that team, and Rick Tocchet's there as an assistant coach now, it's about being there. It's not about, hey, come in and work here for a couple of months. It's about being there and being part of the community.
Is there a lot of alumni that stick around that area? I mean,
there's more than a few that do there, yeah.
I mean, it's a great area, and I love Borky's, like you said, his whole attitude, and to be back in the game, you can tell, like, he's really one of the good guys around, and for him to be working with, like, Hall of Famer Mike Lang, I don't know how many years he's been calling the Penguins games.
Been there for, he's been there since, he was there when they started, and then he left for two or three years, and
so
then he
close
came
to
back,
50
so
years, so he's an icon in Pittsburgh. And he still uses that old headset from 1970-something, and it's so funny to see him do it. But he wears – if you listen to him, folks at home, if you ever are driving somewhere through Pittsburgh and you can catch one of their games as you're driving through, he uses a headset that is way outdated. But the way it sounds, it's like he's in a – I don't know, like a basement with – how do you describe
it? Like in a tin can almost.
Well, yeah. Almost like he's got a tin can over his mouth, and it's classic.
It is classic. And here's the funny thing about it. He was calling the Stanley Cup wins when Phil Bourque was a player.
Yeah, that's
back in
right.
the early 90s, and he's still there. And, you know, I watched him yesterday, and of course, I grew up listening to Mike. And I met up with a high school buddy in between periods last night. Ran downstairs for a minute and talked to a guy I graduated high school with, and he goes, hey, you know, I wanted to ask you, do you ever get to see Mike Lang?
Right.
Because, like, there, that's a big thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we talk all the time.
Just had lunch with him.
Joe Cool. Yeah, we hang out. It's all great. But, you know, I watched Mike. We walked into the Penguins dressing room yesterday. And you know, here's a guy that's, I don't know how old he is, but he's been there for a long, long time. And he walks in, and the players, still these young guys with that great respect for him. And, you know, hey, Langer, how are you? And it's good. You know, just one of the guys still after all this time.
Yeah, but I sense that with that organization, a lot like the Columbus Blue Jackets, where there's a real kind of environment of respect for anyone in the organization. And but you're right. He's a guy that they know he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, these two teams getting together, it's the Penguins know it. I mean, they know what it's going to be. We found that. I talked to Tom Sestito yesterday. You had to leave the dressing room when Tommy just came in off the ice, and he's injured. And of course, he's a former Blue Jacket, and he's been different teams in the league now. And he looked at me and goes, so we're going to play you guys, huh?
Yeah. Well,
goes,
Sid
that
said
should be fun.
I know. Well, Sid said the same thing.
Right.
And you were standing right there when he was like, oh, boy, looks like we're playing you guys again.
Yeah, and the way that he said it was funny because it was respect, but it was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get beat up for 2 weeks straight.
Well, I did ask Sid after the game. I said, how are the Blue Jackets to play against? Because I like asking players, and I've asked players on other teams. I asked Morgan Riley when the Leafs were here. He's a defenseman for them. And Sid said, they're tough. He said, was there even a puck on the ice in the third period? Because I felt like they were just running us through the boards. And, you know, we get to watch them all the time, the Blue Jackets, and we're way up top. But there's to a man, it seems like every guy was throwing the body last night. And you like to hear that from the star player. I asked Ron Hainsey, the defenseman for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He said, no, they're tough. They keep coming, and they battle. And, you know, we were all kind of disappointed last night in the result. And there's some people that are worried that the Blue Jackets are on a little bit of a slide here. But I think it's all good because they do still have an identity. And it's great to hear that from those players. I mean, Ron could have just said that. But those guys are straight up about that. I love to hear that about our
team.
When
they're telling you that after the game, that's off the record. That's legit.
Yeah,
that's legit. There's no microphone.
No, we're standing there. We're just catching up. Ron, how's the family? You know, how are things going? How's the trade? Is family still living down in Carolina. His kids are in school, and they're going to come up next week. And then I threw that out, and he's like, no, they're hard to play against, I'm telling you. So I like hearing that as I leave that building last night.
You know, Chris McFarland, who's a former assistant GM for the Blue Jackets, now works for the Colorado Avalanche. He was scouting that game last night.
Right.
And he said the same thing to me after the second period. He goes, you know what? The way you guys beat on them, he goes, I like your chances in a long series.
Now, that's a great point.
And this goes back to what you and I talked about many times. When you're with your own team all the time, you see all the warts
right.
and all the blemishes. whereas other people see you for what you really are, and sometimes you're just breaking down every negative because that's what you're trained to pick out, what's going wrong.
You know what's interesting about that comment, Bob, is I used to talk to teams ahead of us last year, and you get this too, and the year before, and you would say to them, boy, you guys really are rolling. And they would step back and be like, you know, whether it's a trainer, an assistant coach, or like, not really. And you, right. Exactly to your point, too close to it, don't see that, yeah, you guys keep coming wave after wave at the opponent. And, you know, it makes it hard. It makes it difficult. And these Blue Jackets, the way they're set up right now, the way things are lining up with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you know what's interesting, too? I thought about this the other day. When I was playing with Jágr in Philadelphia, Scott Hartnell was there. And Hartnell was on a line with, I think it was Giroux and Jágr. And seven-game series, we'd have our meeting. So what's going to happen next week is the Blue Jackets are going to finish the game in Toronto, and then it's like the weight of this regular season is gone, and spring is finally in their minds because now it's time for the playoffs. Monday, they're probably going to have a meeting. They're going to get a book on whoever it is. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins. So they're going to sit down in a meeting, and they're going to go through everybody, and they're going to say, hey, who knows anyone about – they're going to go through every player. What do we know on this guy? What do we know on this guy? Just from the player's perspective, they're going to have scouts come in and that have scouted the opposition and say, this is what we have. This is what they do. They're going to break them down. And we left that meeting in Philadelphia. I'll never forget, Jágr pulls Scott Hartnell and Giroux aside and tells them, hey, for game one and two, we're just going to cycle the puck. We're just going to cycle the puck. And Hartnell and Giroux are like, what do you mean? Like, we're going to play against the top 2D for every shift. He said by game six, they're going to be so worn down because they're going to be in their zone for the first two or three games, just cycling. Let's just wear them down. And I thought, that is it. So think about the different approach. We're a day-to-day. We analyze everything about the team and the Blue Jackets. But in a seven-game series, to have that veteran mindset of, hey, and what you said about if they play the way they did last night against the Penguins, by game four and five, they're going to be feeling it. It's going to wear them down. And that's it's an important tactic in a long series. So I love that kind of insight. Those things are going to come up in the room when they catch those meetings. And that's where the veterans and that's where the mindset, that's where the experience of a seven-game series is going to be huge.
And that's, and quite frankly, that's what we're all waiting for.
You're right.
You're counting them down. And I understand from a fan's point of view, it was really important to talk about the President's Trophy. It was really important to talk about home ice.
Oh, this organization?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But if it doesn't happen, the President's Trophy, that's out. Click that off. The home ice still there by a thread. If neither one of those things happens, it doesn't matter. You're in the playoffs. You're going to get the defending Stanley Cup champs. You're going to have to go on the road first. There are advantages to that. We talked about this last night after the game a little bit. There are advantages to that, too. And I'll tell you what, since we're long here, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about those possible advantages and more as we continue with the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. Just had that promo for Tim and Beanie. Jody will be on that show tomorrow at 11:15.
That's right. Yes.
Every game day.
Weekday, yeah. We break it down. And you know what's fun? Tomorrow, Bob, it's a rare pregame skate on a game day.
That's right, because today was a day off. As I said on my CBJ and 30 podcast earlier today, I said, so get infuriated. The Blue Jackets have lost four in a row, and they got the day off. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You just can't beat them to death. They played a lot of hockey in the last couple of weeks.
Were you mad? Were you upset?
No, but you just know how people are.
No.
There'll be some people that go, they're losing. Well, they should skate every day.
No, well, then they should follow us around.
Yeah.
They should come with us.
Not those people. No, they shouldn't. But it is. It's a grind, and it's weird. And let's take into consideration, too, this past week has also been a day where they had to travel on a game day from Raleigh to Chicago. We forgot
That's
about
right.
that, right?
Yeah, that was a long day.
It seems like a month ago, and it was like a week ago. That's how it is for us when we're in the
grind. Was it even
right
a
now.
Week ago?
No. It was
On the weekend.
It was Friday. So, yeah, this
Today's
is Wednesday,
Wednesday,
5 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So there you go.
Yeah, it's part of it, and, you know... The day off, it's a valuable thing. I think that's one thing that John Tortorella, you know, a coach does many things, many, many things in professional sports, but one thing is that schedule and knowing your team, and with an 82-game schedule condensed the way it's been this season, he's been very, very, very good with picking those spots. And listen, those guys know, and about halfway through today, or let's say around 4 o'clock today, I remember as a player, you start locking it in for practice tomorrow because you know you had today off. It's going to be a hard skate. You lost the last game. There's going to be a meeting, a long meeting. You're going to get into that room and get geared up for practice, and it's actually exciting, especially those young guys.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing to do.
Right, yeah. They sat around and played enough video games. It's time to go back to work.
Right.
We were talking before we went into the break about the advantage or disadvantage of home ice advantage in the first round. And there are times when going on the road is not a bad thing because you're doing it together as a team. You remember 3 years ago when the Blue Jackets played the Penguins, they had to start on the road. They lost the first game. Then they came back with a huge overtime victory in game two, and they split those two games in Pittsburgh, and they came home. And once you take a game, now you grab home ice advantage anyway,
yeah.
as it works out. I mean, as Torch said last night, the only time it matters is if you get to a game seven. So don't go to game seven. Do it in six.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure in game seven is, right? I mean, even for us as fans, it's huge. But it's so much fun as a player. And then I was talking with Brandon Dubinsky about this the other day. When you're on the road in the playoffs, you go and you set up camp. I mean, you are in the hotel and you're with the team, you're with the coaches, you're with the trainers, you're locked in. They have a common room up on one of the big floors, whether it's a suite or something, where they have Gatorade water, refreshments, ping pong table, video. It's all set up. It's a common room. So it's almost like a camp because you go there, you have your room, you have your itinerary, and when that's done, you meet the boys upstairs and you play cards. And then there's a big screen TV in there where you watch. Listen, you're going to be watching games on the nights off. You're going to finish a game and you're going to be watching the Western games. You're together, you're watching, and you're locked into hockey. So as a player, it's awesome. Now, playing in front of your own fans, you can't beat it. I mean, that's where you miss it. But as far as locking it down and starting a series, I think it's not a bad thing at all. And, of course, if it's a game seven situation, any situation, you want to play in front of your home fans the most in the series, obviously. If you're not going to get it, you find a way to make your building be that place that's going to intimidate, which is anytime they're at Nationwide Arena. But what I mean is game six. Make it happen. Make it win one on the road so game six is that you can clinch in your building. I think that's the value of and with a young team, yeah, I'm totally fine with starting on the road. It's fun.
Well, and that's the way it's looking right now. So,
and think of the excitement. You split one, you come back home.
Yes.
Okay. Now you can win two and go back 3-1.
There you go.
There's a lot of good things. But I think we're we can overtalk a lot of things, but when it comes right down to it, you're going to Pittsburgh to play two games and come back with both wins. But boy, if you can get one and come back to your building, mayhem is waiting for you.
No doubt about that. One other thing I want to ask you about, it came out this week, just a couple of days ago. The NHL has made the statement that their players are not going to participate in the Olympics next year. They're not going to send them to South Korea. The NHL says it's a done deal. I'm not so sure it's actually a done deal. I think that's more of a hard line negotiating tactic by the league because they can't get anybody else to flinch. The International Olympic Committee, the players' union, nobody's flinching. So if you want to get it stirred up, just say it's over. Because they've done this before in negotiations, as you well know. You were a player in collective bargaining agreement negotiations. But as a former player and a fan of the game, what do you see this? Do you like this or you don't like it?
You know what? You might be surprised to hear this, but I'm all right with the amateurs going. And I don't know why. To me, the Olympics is for amateurs. And, you know, as fun as it is for us to watch the NHL players go and play, I honestly would not mind seeing new heroes at that level. I think that there's just something about how hockey has grown in different parts of the world where there's players that are playing at lower levels. And I maybe because I remember back in the early 90s and late 80s when I think that's what it was. And it was just, I don't know, it was just different. It was guys you knew, but you didn't really know, and they became heroes. And I don't mind that. I mean, you know, it comes down to dollars and cents. And I know the Olympics for the hockey, it's the biggest draw for television. But I don't know. It just brings it back to the amateur spirit of the games, I think. That's my opinion. Now, so I'm not torn up about it, but I think they will. I still think they'll go too, Bob. I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I think they will actually attend the Olympics. But when I hear the IOC say their comments about, you know, that we're going to move on with other players who are willing to go and it didn't work out, it all comes down to dollars and cents. We all know that with the business in any business. So that means, right, negotiating hard lines are big deals. But I'm all right with the amateurs going over there and us pulling for them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's not, and again, I said this on my podcast today, I don't think the Olympics is as big as the people in the United States as it is to the other countries of the world. I think the Stanley Cup, winning the Super Bowl, winning the NBA championship, winning the World Series, I think in the United States, those are the things. And the Olympic gold medals, they're nice. Maybe we just haven't won enough of them, you know, in certain sports for it to be a big deal. But if the amateurs, look, the greatest sports moment in the history of this country is the 1980 Olympic team, the hockey team that beats the Soviets, who, by the way, were basically professionals,
right?
Beats the Soviets and then beats Finland and wins the gold medal and changes, you know, to some extent changes the course of history in some ways. So that was, those were amateur players. So
I love that.
I don't have a problem with it either, quite frankly.
Yeah. You know what? And to me, it's the spirit of the Olympics. And you know, you sit down to watch, there's a few events you sit down to watch and the 100 in the summer, it's the 100-meter dash and the swimming, and it's so much fun to have. I mean, that's really where you get the sense of the American pride. Or, you know, I mean, in Canada, you know, if we get someone close to a bronze medal, we get excited because we're such a small country, and we try to compete. But our thing is hockey, and it's been for a while. But now with these other countries coming on, that's the part that I'll miss, is because if they actually don't go, you know, it's not Canada anymore. It's United States, Finland, Sweden. It's rotated. Russia, I mean, there's some amazing games that go on, and that's where you really get a sense of pride in the hockey world. That's the fun part, is seeing those other countries compete, and then the excitement from the players that, you know, we have how many Swedes, how many Finns, how many Russians, and they wouldn't only be represented over there, but to see them come back or see the guys that don't get to go, rooting for them, it makes it really exciting.
Teammates become rivals. And sometimes rivals become teammates. So right now, they're not going. Now, here's what we're going to do. We have one more segment of this show. We're going to open it up to you. And here are the topics. All right? Keep it to the topics.
Ooh. All right?
Topic number one is, are you concerned about the Blue Jackets in their recent slide? If you are, why? Okay? And number two, do you want to see the NHL go to the Olympics? That's what we're going to talk about in the final segment of The Inside Edge. The number to call is 614-821-9710, 614-821-9710. This is The Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. Back here on The Inside Edge, 97.1 The Fan, Bob McKelligan, Jody Shelley with you. Blue Jackets at home tomorrow night to take on the Winnipeg Jets, final home game of the regular season. Then they'll close out the regular season with a Saturday afternoon game in Philadelphia and a Sunday night game in Toronto. Chris Letang, top defenseman for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We didn't see him last night. We're not going to see him in the playoffs. He announced today that he has to have surgery on his neck. He's going to be out 4 to 6 months. Listen, this guy, you know, we talk about being without Zach Werenski because he took a beating against the Washington Capitals. Chris Letang, like him or hate him, he takes a huge beating because of his skill and his talent, and teams target him over and over. And you know what? It's great that the Blue Jackets won't have to deal with him in the playoffs, but it's terrible. He's going to have to miss almost 6 months.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that's dealt with some different injuries. Didn't he have blood clots? Was that last year? Was it him?
Yeah,
he's had some strange things, so... you wish them the best. It's a big blow to the Penguins, but you know, you got to give them credit. They're a team that's finding a way to win. And you know, the leadership of Crosby, the speed of Gensel, and some players like that they've picked up. But you look at all the guys, Kunitz, Hagelin, the eight guys. Daly looks like he's coming back. Olimata, defenseman, looks like he's coming. Those are two pretty key defensemen. The acquisition of Ron Hainsey, they got Schultz and. Well, that's Schultz. I mean, that's an interesting. You think about a pickup and a guy who's elevated his game. He's playing like a number two defenseman, I think.
But you remember when he came out of college and he was one of these big-time college free agents anybody could sign? And then at the time, you know, he wanted to go to Edmonton. I thought he was out of his mind.
Right.
Nobody wanted to go to Edmonton.
Well, they needed a D.
Right. So he goes there, and then it totally didn't work. And Jim Rutherford picks him up and gets him with the Penguins.
Picks him up off the scrap heap, actually.
And he helps him win a Stanley Cup, and then he gets a contract during the summer last year. And then this year he's got over 30 assists from the blue line.
I 12 mean, goals, 37 assists. He's got 49 points.
Yeah.
And he's plus 26.
And he just keeps coming.
And, boy, I tell you, some of the plays he made last night, he's got confidence, he's got skill, and he can skate. So that's a nice pickup for the Pittsburgh Penguins, quietly. Look, I think it was quiet.
It is. Yes, it was quietly because it was kind of – he was this big, flashy guy, and then all of a sudden all the flash wore off, and Pittsburgh gets him, as you said, for nothing, and now he's flashy again. But the other guys that are playing on their blue line
– yes.
I mean, Chad Ruweedle is playing. Who is that?
I don't know.
But he's solid, and he's out there giving them minutes – and helping them win.
Yeah, and you know, that's – look at Chicago. I mean, they keep seven pieces every single year. Those guys are going nowhere. Keith Seabrook, Kane Taves, Hossa. I'm missing a couple more. But then they add players you don't know. But they've all got speed and skill, and they're smart, okay? And that's what great teams do. And Pittsburgh, you got to give them credit. Matt Murray came out of nowhere. He's still a rookie in the National Hockey League.
By definition.
And he's already got a Stanley Cup. So it's impressive to watch what they do. These great organizations. Jim Rutherford, just a smart guy. I love the Cullen pickup, too, because he's 40 years old, all right? But he's got so much value with that team. He's got so much respect. He's won Stanley Cup in Carolina, and now he's won one. Did he win two or one? No, just one with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. And he's that third line, fourth line center who does his job and does it the right way every game. And it just brings value to that room, too. So they've got a good room. I love the way the Blue Jackets have set things up this season. It's going to be such an interesting start to this series because there's so many storylines. The fascinating part for me, too, is the coaches. John Tortorella and Sullivan, they're longtime buddies. They worked together back in the minors. They actually, Sully was he was a player when Torts was an assistant coach. And it's amazing to watch them. I played for both of them in New York, and they have a great dynamic. But the respect they have and how well they know each other. Like last night, the way the Blue Jackets started, the Blue Jackets throw out Brandon Dubinsky, okay, saying, you know, we want Sid. And Sully just goes, here's Sid. You know, for the opening faceoff.
Right.
And almost is like, that's not going to bother me. You're just going to have to try to outplay Sid. And it's funny to watch the coaching dynamic there. And then, of course, the Dubinsky Crosby, the Hartnell Penguins dynamic.
That was his most, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was his most physical game of the year last night. He was whacking guys legally, finishing checks, and he was getting booed in that building. That's when he's in his element, he's doing that there.
I couldn't agree with you more. Boone Jenner, you know, he's
they'll
so
hate
physical.
Him by the end of the series.
Oh, yeah.
They'll hate him.
They'll all hate him. But those guys wear on you in a 60-minute game. David Savard, Jack Johnson.
You know who else has to get into that conversation? Josh Anderson.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And he did a little bit of it last night. I'm just saying, at the end of that series with the Penguins, he's got to be in that group of, oh, my God, this guy just was relentless the entire time with everything he does.
And one thing about Josh, you know, he's physical and he's fast. He's got that great speed. But for me, when he gets the puck, he almost disappears. Mm-hmm. And he's got such a big frame. You know, power forwards, it's like when they get the puck, it's like, look out. And there's that level that we've seen a few times this season. But I thought last night a couple times. And he did do it early, actually, with Jenner and Milano. There's a couple times where he took that puck right to the net early, two times, right from the corner or below the goal line, directly to the front of the net. And those are huge plays because, I mean, Boone loves going there and following that up.
Right.
But Josh needs to do that more. He's a hard guy to play against because he's so big and so quick.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
Lodge with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.